Welcome to the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome everyone to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack. And today our guest is Tate Seymour, and he is the visionary and CEO of Greenlight Equity Group, which currently owns 595 units totaling almost $50 million in value in Oklahoma City and Columbus, Ohio. He and his team operate clean, safe, progressive communities that promote a thriving living environment. And he's also the host of the Apartment Guys podcast and serves on the executive board of the Utah Real Estate Investor Association. And so you guys haven't checked it out yet, be sure to subscribe and listen to his podcast as well. So welcome to the show, Tate. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Eileen. It's an honor to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to hopefully contribute some value to your listeners.
Tate, no, thank you. I appreciate you coming on. So if you could start off by sharing a little bit more about your background and how you got started in real estate.
Sure. One thing I want to mention right off the bat is the podcast, and I need to update my bio. The podcast name has changed. It's now the Apartment Gurus, not the Apartment Guys. So if anybody's looking for that, Apartment Gurus. And we're doing two episodes a week now and really cranking out hopefully some really high value stuff for everybody. So yeah, my real estate roots go back to 2006. So I was a photographer by trade. I studied fine art photography in college, and then I became a professional wedding photographer, ski photographer out here in Utah, action ski stuff, and portrait work as well. And in 2006, I got to a point where I knew that wasn't going to scale well at all, because when people hire a photographer, they want you. They don't want one of your employees. So it was a lot of hard work, which, you know, I'm certainly not afraid of hard work, but the juice in the squeeze wasn't what I wanted it to be. And so I was at a friend's house and hanging out in his basement with his roommate, and his roommate's talking about a triplex that he's getting ready to flip. I mean, I'd heard that word before, but like, I never considered it, right? It never like kind of crossed my radar, so to speak. So yeah, I was like, really? Well, you got to tell me about this, man. Cause my entrepreneurial juices were already really flowing with my photography business. I was really loving working for myself. So yeah, long story short, he was enrolled in a very entry-level investing course that I joined, and it taught us how to basically do small scale, single family. We talked about cap rates and stuff like that, but I had some basic investor knowledge and went out and started flipping homes on my own. Eventually got my real estate license, became a realtor, and started helping other investors do the same thing I was doing. And then the crash hit and shut us all down. All the money sources we were using to get these deals done went away. And I got back into photography for a few years, did a few other business ventures. And I was kind of burnt out on real estate at that point anyway. You know, we were doing such small scale stuff that the paychecks were really slim. And, you know, I was selling $150,000 houses and making a few thousand dollars on a commission. And so basically I was working for who's now my partner. His name's Carl York, who I've known since 1999 and been great friends with and worked with and for over the past 23 years. I was working for him up at the Snowbird Ski Resort here in Utah. And he said, you know, Tate, what if we started flipping some houses again? And he had a background in real estate. He's super handy. He can fix anything. He can build anything. And I said, dude, there's no way I am doing anything with real estate ever again. And I just had a bad taste in my mouth for it. And at that point, but I love working with Carl. We energize each other. We're natural partners. And so the opportunity to do something with him was compelling enough to me to start calling up some of my old contacts that I had from when I was doing it before. Eventually we found a house and then found another house. And then eventually we were doing maybe six houses a year which isn't very much, but we were doing eventually higher end houses. And Eileen, we weren't doing them very well. I'll say that we were basically using all of our own money for, you know, the efforts. And also we're having Carl be the general contractor on these projects. And I was his assistant general contractor, which I'm not good at. I'm not good at swinging a hammer. Like, I'll break something. So, and I did, I broke things all the time. but my natural business disposition is to kind of lead from the front, to find deals, to put together deals, to put together partnerships, that sort of thing. So I wasn't really getting a chance to do that a whole lot. And here again, we just got to a point where we didn't feel like we could scale any more than we were based on how we were currently doing things. We didn't want to go hire a team of contractors or a team of workers. And so we started to look for other lanes in real estate. And we started doing land deals where we would buy basically single family properties that were zoned for high density multifamily. And we would buy them, we would have them entitled, meaning we would get plans drawn up for a community of usually townhomes. And then we would sell those projects without breaking ground, without doing anything. We'd sell the projects to local developers. And
all in the Salt Lake, all in the Salt Lake market.
This was all in Utah. Everything so far is in Utah. Yep. In the Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City market. And so from there, we decided that the next good step was going to be to build stuff ourselves ground up. And so we bought a couple of projects that were single family homes that we tore down and built three luxury townhomes on each. So we built six townhomes total. And quite frankly, to be totally real and transparent with you and your audience, those projects went horribly. In fact, the builder that we hired to build them ended up stealing a whole bunch from us and, you know, really doctoring paperwork and invoices and bills and upcharges. And they also weren't doing the job, which took us about, because we were new at it and didn't know what to look for, it took us about 6 months to figure out how bad things really were. And by then they were really bad.
How did you find those builders?
By referral, you know, and we vetted them, but we didn't vet them for the right projects. We went and looked at some office stuff they'd done and some single family stuff they'd done, but we trusted the guy that referred us to them was the guy that we bought the projects from. So we had a pretty high level of trust that unfortunately was a little misguided with him. And we ended up firing the builder and then in a legal battle with them and all that stuff. So we lost a big chunk of money on those projects. And luckily, in the meantime, rewinding about a year from the same person that we bought these other projects from, we had a 12-unit apartment building fall in our lap. I mean, literally, this guy brought us the deal. He said, here's your underwriting. Here's your pro forma. Here's how I would do it. Here's a construction firm to do it for you, et cetera, et cetera. It was a full repositioning. Half the units were vacant. The other half weren't paying rent. They were month to month. So we got everybody out and we did a head-to-toe remodel, windows, roof, flooring, mechanicals, the whole nine yards, granite countertops. We made them really nice and we were able to double rents at that property. And we ended up selling it, went full cycle with it, so to speak, and ended up doing very, very well on it. So in the course of kind of the dark times of the townhomes, we did have this other project go well for us. And what it did was it pointed out to us the beauty of multifamily, specifically the aspect of having revenue, cash flow coming in during a project while you own it and paying the bills. And obviously, when we got everybody out, it wasn't generating any revenue. But by the time we stabilized it and got every unit filled, it was producing really, really nice revenue. And we had never underwritten a project like that before. And I remember when we were looking at it originally before we bought it, Carl looks at me and he goes, dude, can you shoot a hole in this deal at all? And I'm like, no, dude, this is amazing. This is like the first non-speculative piece of real estate we've ever looked at. And it was incredibly eye-opening to us. And, you know, we had a great experience with that first property, and we ended up buying a 20 unit out here in Utah. These are all still in Utah, and did the same thing with that 20 unit. Had a lot of success with that. And right away after that first 12 unit, I knew that we wanted to go to large scale, large unit count apartments specifically. And I just saw the light, so to speak. Light bulb went off in my head that this was a great, great avenue to go down. And so I enrolled in a coaching mastermind with the big kahuna, Corey Peterson out of Phoenix, who's a pretty well-known multifamily guru, and really learned the business from him. And he gave us the confidence to go out and start looking at properties, writing LOIs, and getting properties under contract and closing on them. And so fast forward, here we are in 2022 in September. We currently own 595 units. The bio is wrong. It's actually about 58 million in assets, because we did just add a $10 million asset. And we're in the Columbus, Ohio market, and we're also in the Oklahoma City market. Those are our two only markets that we're in. We sold that 20 unit in Utah after repositioning it, and did very well on it. But we knew that the pricing in Utah was not going to allow for us to do the kinds of deals that we were committed to doing, which are deals that cash flow, that pay the debt service, pay the expenses, pay the investors that are in our deals with us, and also pay us a little bit at the end of the day. To buy at the right price to make that pencil, you've got to be at a high enough cap rate, low enough price to make that work. And Salt Lake City's cap rates at the time were really compressing fast, and to the tune of sub 4% cap rates. It's a great growth market. It's a great appreciation market, but you can't cash flow those properties. So I'm originally from Ohio. I have ties in Columbus. I have family in Cincinnati, and Columbus made a lot of sense for us on an economic level, on an employment level, growth level, affordability. And then Oklahoma City, my partner, Chelsea Garber, shout out to her. She dove into the Oklahoma City market head first and set up some great relationships there, broker relationships, property management. And we got busy in that market as well. We own three different communities in Oklahoma City and four in Columbus now. So
if you were to go back though, Tate, would you have done the flipping and the development and the land and all of that before jumping into multifamily?
Knowing what I know now, absolutely not. No way. I'm a big proponent of blowing up the myth that you got to start small and work your way up. If the only thing you can do is start small, because either your mindset isn't there yet, or maybe you don't have all the resources that you need lined up yet, which are, by the way, available in the form of partnerships, then you might want to start small, whether that's duplexes, fourplexes, single family, small commercial. But I just had somebody on my podcast who he flipped one single family home, and then he did another, and then he started holding them. And eventually he had 20, which was the max that he was allowed to borrow on. And he went right to a 100 unit apartment building right out of the gate. And he did it smart and strategically, and he wasn't able to do it in his home market of Dallas. So he went to, Phoenix, I believe. And did a project in Phoenix and got that project done, put him on the map. Brokers in Dallas started taking him seriously. And now he sold 3,000 units last year alone from his portfolio, and he's building 4,000 ground up units. So, and that was a 6-year progression. Literally 6 years ago was when he did that first 100 unit deal. So again, I'm a firm believer that just about anything is possible in this space as far as growth rate and as far as where you can start. It's all determined by your mindset, 100% mindset.
We love hosting this show. When we started this podcast, we were doing all the editing and post-production ourselves. Now, we are very excited to have this particular company as a partner of the show to do all the post-production for us, because it gives us the freedom to focus on the two things we care about. serving you, our listener, at a higher level, and growing our own multifamily business. If you are like Sayla and me, then you want to add value to others while scaling your business. A podcast is the best way to do both, and we invite you to contact Adam Adams. He can help you launch your podcast, market your show for more listeners, and take all the post-production off your plate so you can focus on your business instead of in it. Listeners of this show can get a free consultation with Adam. To schedule your free consultation, find the link in the show notes. How did you change your mindset? Like, especially when you were starting in the flipping and the development and the land business, like what changed your mindset when you got into multifamily? What was the turning point for you? And how did you change your outlook on how you did business?
Yeah, I love it. Great question. So the shift in mindset came partially from just having a deal that we could get our heads around and that we could get the resources together to do ourselves. We didn't joint venture or anything like that. We just did it ourselves. And so we had proof of concept internally with this idea that we can do this apartment thing. Now, we had done it at a small scale. So to get my head really around the idea that we could do 100 units or 150 units or more, that really came from enrolling in the coaching mastermind that Corey Peterson put on and putting myself in a room with 15 other people that were either in the spot that I was in or were had already done deals and or were doing deals. And basically what I found, Eileen, is that I think there's a magic behind who you literally are in the physical space of, right? So that's why these conferences are so dang valuable. These masterminds, these networking groups, these meetup groups, even coaching programs that have communities like the one you did, Eileen, with Hunter Thompson. You put yourself in rooms with people that are doing things that you want to do or are doing things at 10 times the level that you're doing them. All of a sudden, that becomes so much more attainable. You start to identify with your environment and with your surroundings and the people that surround you. And you start to look at yourself differently. And you show up at these events, you dress up nicely, you go out with your A game and you network, you party, and you like get to know people. And if you're in this for the right reasons and you're doing this from a relational standpoint of establishing nice, good, long-term relationships that are vibrant and healthy and that are authentic, you really are going to, the whole idea of that your net worth is your net worth. Well, improving your network, in my opinion, and growing your network with the right kinds of people is just priceless. It's absolutely priceless in what it does to your mindset. So it was really a combination of things. I went to a few national events as well, and same sort of effect as the coaching mastermind, really, where we basically are, you're in a room with a few hundred people or 500 people or whatever, and you've got people of all different levels doing it. But I've always been someone that feels like if I can watch somebody in front of me do it, then I'm going to be able to mimic what they did and do it.
Success leaves clues.
That's right. And this goes back to skiing for me. I'm a big skier, and snowbirds are a tough mountain to ski. It's very expert level, and there's some really kind of weird, treacherous stuff. And so when I was learning to ski 23 years ago, right after I moved from Ohio to Utah, I just followed people. And luckily enough, I had friends that would let me follow them. And if they were entering into a chute and they had to ski around a tree and avoid a rock and do all that stuff, and I would just watch where they put their skis and watch how they did it, watch their form, and then I would just imitate it. And that's how I learned. That's how I got better. But I first had to have the attitude that if they can do it, I can do it. And there's some audacity to that, I think. On the one hand, there's boldness there. There's confidence there. And as entrepreneurs, we've got to have that level of confidence that we can go out and do what other people are doing, I think.
Fantastic. And I have to ask you also, because one of the things you had mentioned was when you were doing, you're buying six houses per year. And prior to that, you were using only your own money to do it. Right. And you mentioned that it wasn't the most efficient way to be able to scale your business.
Yep.
What changed for you? And then how were you able to scale to the level you have gotten to now? Has that changed at all? Or has everything just been through your own? Or have you now brought on investors to help?
No, we have investors. We're syndicators. And what changed for me was just learning the business, honestly. It was sitting down with Corey for a day, one-on-one, having him open his playbook and say, this is how we buy, this is how we finance, this is how we raise capital, and taking on that that's what we were going to be doing. It's a whole different level of activity. It's a whole different activity set, if you will, when you're syndicating and bringing on capital. But just to I don't want to talk too much more about single family, but just to rewind to that point, if I knew what I knew now, what I would have been doing is going out, putting a team together to do all this work for us. So we got that leveraged and letting Carl manage that aspect of the business. And then I would have been building our investor base, bringing in investors, and then going out and getting more deals and scaling the business up. There are ways of doing very, very well in single family, especially if you're going to hold on to them and put a big portfolio together. But think about it this way, Eileen, I know you've thought of this or talked about it before. You can work for 5, 7, 8, 10 years, put 100 house portfolio together of all single families. You're going to have 100 transactions, 100 loans, 100 different closings, 100 sets of closing costs, or you can go out and buy 100-unit apartment building and have 1 loan. One set of closing costs, 1 transaction, 1 property manager. That's leverage. That's what we talk about when we talk about leverage in this business. And when you compare those two scenarios, to me, there's so much excitement around the second scenario, because guess what? Once you get that one in place and stabilized and running and with a third-party manager, you can do it again. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can double the size of that asset. And all of a sudden you have 300 units where you just worked your tail off in the single family scenario to get to 100. How are you going to get to 300? So to me, the magic of multifamily, right? It's just, there is a particularly unique set of qualities to this endeavor that we do. And I love it. I just love it. I love being able to offer opportunities to investors that are just so solid and risk mitigated and offer such nice returns. I mean, really, really double digit plus returns that can be life-changing for people. So I love it.
So how has real estate impacted your life so far?
Well, it's everything for me. I'm single. I have no kids. I live by myself. We home office out of my house. So my partners come here and work. But this is my baby. Like Greenlight Equity Group is my baby. The podcast called The Apartment Gurus is my baby. And I just enjoy the heck out of it. And even when things are tough and we're in the middle of a really hairy, you know, transaction or negotiation or whatever, one thing I think maybe a takeaway for the audience is I'm able to compartmentalize my life pretty well. And what I mean by that is when I'm working, I'm all work and, you know, I'm focused, I'm passionate, I'm engaged, I'm present. And when I'm playing, I'm all playing. Like it's all out, play, work hard, play hard. And so when I go to sleep at night, like none of it bugs me. None of it really, it's something I can kind of put in a box and put aside and wake up the next morning at 4:30 in the morning or whatever crazy hour I get up and start working on again. And so it's affected my life in that it's, I guess the most profound way I could say it generally is that it's given me a vehicle to self-actualization, which may sound kind of like out there to a lot of people, but it's a platform or a space in which I get to show up at my highest and best every single day and create who I am and who I want to be to my team, to our investors, to our residents, to our vendors, our lenders, all of those people that I interact with all the time. I get to be a leader. And to me, there's a lot of joy in that. There's a lot of fulfillment in that. And it also has afforded me a lot of freedom. So, you know, I think freedom is the one thing that we probably all mostly start out with being forefront in our motivation. But I think when you can lock in and really love the work that you're doing, that's when you're going to get really good and masterful. And if you love it, you're going to master it. And
it's so interesting because when you were talking about the flipping side of things, you talked about how you're burnt out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the right fit for you. Even though it's real estate, there's different asset classes that would fit your needs and what you're looking to achieve. And the flipping side for you wasn't fulfilling you. It was actually burning you out and not giving you that fulfillment. When you found this other asset class here in multifamily, that fulfilled you and gave you more meaning to what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, the last 4 years of my life, which is, I guess, about five now, that's the time that we've been doing multifamily. I've never felt more like in the zone or like locked into my purpose in life. And that's a blessing, man. And I'm 49. You know, it took me 44 years to get there, doing a lot of stuff that sometimes I kind of liked. Like, I liked photography. I love the creative aspect of it. The business aspect of it was kind of fun, but that purpose, that sense of mission wasn't there with it. And part of it for that, I think, is because I wasn't ready yet. But when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I've been blessed with some great mentors. I currently have a coach. Another quick takeaway maybe for your listeners would be hire a coach or a mentor and have it be a paid coach or mentor. Like, really invest in that space, which a good coach, a good mentor is going to deal a lot with your limiting beliefs as much as they will teach you about underwriting. And so there's nothing that you can do to replace the experience that they have. You know, you're leveraging all the mistakes they've made. You're leveraging all their resources, all their ideas, all their strategies. Like, for the $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 you're going to spend, ideally on that first deal, you're going to make a six-figure acquisition fee and right there at closing. So I'd encourage listeners to really consider that. There's some great coaching programs out there. I just started one. Jake and Gino have a great one. Michael Blanc. There's some really great coaching out there. And you want to go with who resonates with you, right? But make that investment. If you're going to handle millions and millions of dollars of other people's money, you got to be as good at this as you can possibly be. And having a great coach in your corner is absolutely priceless, irreplaceable.
And so, Tate, how can our listeners reach out and find out more about you?
You bet. Yeah. So investwithgreenlight.com is our website. And you either my Calendly link is on the website, so you can actually book an appointment with me if you'd like, 10, 15 minute appointment where we can talk about your business and what you're up to and maybe brainstorm a little bit. There's no strings attached, there's no sales pitch, there's no motive other than to help. And so I love hearing from listeners. Investwithgreenlight.com. You can also email me there and you can sign up for our investor list there as well.
Awesome, Tate. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I really appreciate the conversation and you coming on the show.
It was fantastic, Eileen. Thank you for the opportunity and blessings to all your listeners and to you as you guys continue forward in your businesses.
Thank you.
You bet.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes. If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Zayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.